All right, Malach Amala, Perik Yud Zayin, Eliyahu Navi. Okay, what's questions, comments, what do you got?
Hashem is sending ravens to get him food. You can't just keep the brook going.
Can't keep the brook going?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So why do you dry up the brook? Okay, not disgusting. Okay, what else?
So Eliyahu was like planning on doing Techilas Mason, like he's done it before, like he would know, he knows.
Yeah, has never done this before.
So it's like, how does he know?
He's just
like,
he has no know, like, idea.
But his plan was just to like, you know, I'll try.
He wasn't like, oh, let me go. Don't worry, miss. I got this covered. He has no idea. This never happened before.
Mm-hmm. So he just like thought of it on the spot.
On the spot, he's dominating. So, and yeah.
He didn't. Did he need the food from her? He was getting food the whole time. He acts like he was starving. The only problem was the brook.
No. Well, the brook, you can't live without water. So he was told, that's it. Leave. Go somewhere else. Yeah. And he's told where to go.
Or have the ravens bring the
Hashem chosen. Go. Come, lech tefata.
Right.
What else? Yeah. All right, you got something?
How did she know he was like a real Navi? Like if a guy comes into my house, he's like, use the little food you have left to feed me first, then you guys can eat. Like I'd be a little skeptical.
Yes, he'd say, you know what? Let me eat first, if there's anything left over, we'll talk. Yeah. So after this guy.
I also feel like it's unlike Eliyahu to make, let, you know,
reason?
I eat first kind of guy, you know?
Doesn't seem yes, like. It certainly makes him sound like an egomaniac. Yeah. You know, but just give me your food.
I promise it won't run out.
Right, it's like the school bully here. Stealing the lunch money. I don't know. Okay, we have to figure this out. Yes.
What's the reason for the drought?
Okay. We have to deal with that. Here's the weird thing. Let's start. Have we met Eliyahu before? No.
I just assumed I missed a day or something.
You assume like we must have missed something, right? We come back after Pesach. I don't remember what happened in the previous parak. We must have had an introduction to Eliyahu, right?
Yeah.
But no. This is the first time we meet Eliyahu. He just bursts on the scene. It's as if like you turned on the TV late and you missed the beginning. Like we're trying to say, well, what happened in the beginning? No, Eliyahu's right here. And this is the first we have him. Where's the intro? We're like in the middle of the story.
Yeah, you're supposed to say he's a tzaddik or something, you know?
You know what?
You're supposed to say he's a tzaddik or something.
Yeah, we should sing a song or something. So, what can we surmise? The first thing we can surmise is we're not dealing with some rookie Navi. He's sitting here now yelling at the king of Israel and threatening the king of Israel. So, Eliyahu is well known to Ahab, the king of Israel. We haven't met him yet, but it's clear that he's well known. How do I know? How do I know this is not the beginning? Because what the first pasuk said? The Yom Eliyahu Tishvi Mitoshvei Gilad El Ahab Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Amadeti Lefanav. I've been standing before him. I've been serving Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we know that he has been serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Barbanel says, right, I've been serving as a Navi. And therefore we can understand why he takes a Shavua. Right? He takes a Shavua about what's going to happen. There's not going to be any rainfall. So, here's my question. Did Hashem send him? Or did he decide this on his own?
He realized he's going to be out of a job. If everyone's doing Avodah Zarah, he's the Navi.
Hmm? So I'm asking you, did Eliyahu on his own come and say that there's going to be a drought? Did he call this audible at the line of scrimmage, or did the coach send him the play?
Because it says Hashem heard his words, right? No?
Hashem heard his words.
Yeah, so it means,
so what does that mean?
It means that he went by himself.
Okay.
Or the last bit was by him in the beginning of it. You know, he says, by my word also.
By my word. So that sounds like
him.
Him. Okay. Eliyahu blames the drought that's going to be on Achav. Turn back to the last parak. Parak Tzayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Read out loud, what does it say? Yeah.
Elisa's evils was going in the way of his sins, Yerubbaal ben Nevat. He took a wife, Izabel, daughter of Baal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and worshipped Baal and postured himself to it.
So what do we see here? That he introduced the Avodah Zarah. Now, turn to Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph, Sukkim Tet Zayin and Yud Zayin. Read in Hebrew, even though you usually read in English, and you'll see why it'll be very familiar to you. Yeah?
What'd you say?
Devarim. Yud Aleph?
Yud
Aleph. Yud Aleph, Tet Zayin and Yud Zayin. Okay. What does it say?
Perek
Yud Aleph, Tet Zayin and Yud Zayin.
That is 10, that is 16. You shall cut.
Read in Hebrew.
Umalatem is Arlos Levavacha.
I can't hear you.
Am I saying the right one?
Read it out.
Umalatem is Arlos Levavacha.
No.
No. Hishamriu. It starts with Hishamriu.
Perak Yedot, tell me page.
454.
Let's see that.
Here, read it.
Tetzai.
Hishamriu. Pendel Lachem. Sartem Avatem. Elohim Achim.
Elohim Achim.
Mm-hmm.
Say Elohim, because it's
for the false gods. Now I should keep going?
Yeah, and then what's
going to
happen?
B'chara? Adonai B'chem, B'yatzor Shemayim, B'yatzor, 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 B'yatzor.
Okay, so what does it say? If you, now read in English.
Beware for yourselves, lest your heart be seduced and you will be satisfied. Beware of, might be, I'm off my game. Beware of yourself, lest your heart be seduced and you turn astray and serve gods of others and prostrate yourselves to them. Then the wrath of Hashem will blaze against you and will strain the heavens so there will be no rain and the ground will not yield its produce.
So what do we see in Kriyat Shema? Drought is a consequence of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Eliyahu decides to take it upon himself to be the vehicle of this Onesh. He says, there is rampant Avodah Zarah. And now it's time for the punishment. So, is it that he made this, you know, judgment call, or did God send him? So what does it sound like? So, Fran, you're saying it sounds like he decided this on his own, right?
Yeah, but based on his pasuk, perhaps.
Yeah, I think you're right. No, it's a machlokas, as most things are in Judaism. But the Ralbag thinks Eliyahu wouldn't act on his own. He refers to himself as Ashamati Lefanav. He stands before God. Chai Hashem Okeisol Ashamati Lefanav. Clearly, he was sent by Kadosh Baruch Hu and he's Shaliach. But the Barbanel says, I think it fits in better with the words, like you said, that out of his zealousness on behalf of Kadosh Baruch Hu, he went to act. The Midrash goes on to say that they were at some Shiva because of what happened to the last Parakhil. And saying, look, God punishes you. And he says, sure, and God really punished him. He says, Shema every day, and there's no drought. And the Avodah Zarah right now. So Eliyahu decided to have God's back and called for the drought. Had God sent him, should have began with Kol Amar Hashem. At least a hint that it's from God. Plus the fact that he needs to swear, it's from Eliyahu. What's the Shua Ki Imlif? You know, I'm not going to have any water unless I say so. You know, he's like a big talker. So it's just like he's the one that made this call. As a Navi, he realized the generation needed something to stop the backsliding. And it seems that Hashem gives leaders, okay, whether it be Nevi'im or other leaders, freedom to decide on the plan. And he backs up Eliyahu and withholds the ring. Right, according to the Barbanel, this was not a decree from God, a decree from Eliyahu. But God said, all right, you made the call, I've got your back. Right? That's what it sounds like. So now the question is, let me shut the back window, why was he sent to Nahal Krit?
Is this woman important later?
This is before we get to the woman. Like,
oh.
When he goes there with the ravens, mm-hmm. Right? Why is he sent to Nahal Krit?
Because...
Is that a purpose? Is there a purpose to go there? Or is the purpose just to get away from Achav and Izebel because they're going to try to kill him if you know, there's an actual drought. What?
Yeah.
Why?
I think he's just trying to get away.
Okay. So the problem for that answer is, then why do we need to know where he went? Why doesn't it just say, Eliyahu left the city and God sustained him? Would that have been sufficient? Okay. In the Mikros Gedolos, there's a commentary on Navi called the Klei Yakar. It's not the same Klei Yakar that you have in the Mikros Gedolos on Chumash. The Mikros Gedolos on Chumash is a later Achron from Prague who, you know, I think he's like 18th century. Klei Yakar was a contemporary, Klei Yakar on Navi was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. So lived a couple hundred years earlier. He's a pshat-oriented commentary, as opposed to the Klei Yakar on Chumash, which is lots of drushes. So he says God sent it to Nachal Krit as an onesh. He's punishing Eliyahu. But even though Eliyahu acted on God's behalf, he felt that Eliyahu went too far. What did Eliyahu say? I'm going to withhold what? What did he say in the first
dew
class?
And what?
What?
Rain and dew?
Rain and dew. He says, that's too much. Dew? I was told rain is one thing. But even the dew, that's like taking it too far. And God says to him, Pasuk Gimel, Lech Mizeh. Go from here. So that's the Klei Yakar. Go from this cruelty. Now you went too far. And in a sense, Hashem puts him in Cheder. He's no longer living amongst civilization. He's off on his own as little Robin Hood Caruso. He's off on his own. And he's being supported by which birds?
Ravens.
Are ravens known as kind birds or cruel birds? Cruel birds. So again, the symbolism here is in the way that you're cruel, that's what I am going to have support you. Okay? Cruel birds. To remind Eliyahu of his actions. The river dries up to teach Eliyahu what? People are suffering all around you. You caused this. And now you have to leave. And realize that the way that you have no food, you have no water, there are people around you that are suffering. And now what does God want to do? He wants him to see the people. So he's been off by his own. And ravens are giving him food. Like man. You know, he's good. Life's good. He's like, you know, Rav Shimba Yochai, living in the cave and being supported. So, what does God do? I want you to see the people. And he sends them off to a city. And now we understand, to whom does God send them? What type of woman does he now go to? A what?
A tzaddikus.
A tzaddikus, but what's her financial situation? She is a poor widow. God could have just easily sent him to a very wealthy person. But God didn't want to send to a wealthy person. What does he want him to do? He wants to see that Am Yisrael is suffering. Right? She doesn't have enough for herself. And Eliyahu makes that weird request. Where's the Pesukim again? Read again the Pesukim. Yud. Aaron, read.
Good. Yeah. So he arose and went to Zarephath and Rakhath and entered the city. Behold, a widow was gathering wood there. He called to her and said, please fetch me some water in a vessel that I may drink.
She went Keep to
What?
Keep reading.
That she went to get it, and he called to her, saying, please fetch me also a piece of bread in your hand. She said, as Hashem your God lives, I swear that I am not so much as a cookie, but only a handful of flour and a jug and a bit of oil in the creek. Behold, I am gathering two pieces of wood, and then I will go and prepare for myself and my son. We will eat it, and then we will die. But Eliyahu said to her, fear not, go do as you have said, but first prepare a small cake for it, and bring it out to me, and prepare for yourself and your son after you. For thus said Hashem, God of Israel, the jug of flour shall not run out, and the flask of oil shall not lack until the day that Hashem provides rain upon the face of the earth.
Okay, so, it's a little strange. First of all, it seems, as Rashi says, God sends him from Nachal Krit, so he should see how people are living. He brings to a poor woman because he wants him to soften, to lighten up. Look at the way the woman speaks to him. Pasuk Yudbet. The Tomer Chaya Shemokecha. This sounds exactly like the way Eliyahu spoke in Pasuk Aleph. What did Pasuk Aleph? Yomer Eliyahu Tishvi Chaya Shiloki Yisrael, Hashem Mati Lefanam. Right? Harsh language. And she speaks to him, not knowing who he is, in a very sharp way. Right? Eliyahu seems like an egomaniac. But what is the Rabbah says, he realizes, look, she's going to die. Clearly, he looks at her. She just said, we're having our last meal. So, out of her own zchuyot, she's not going to live. But he realizes, through the nes, because Baruch Hu sent me, I'm going to live. She'll live as well. This is how the Rabbah understands it. Otherwise, I can't think of any other way that doesn't paint the Eliyahu in a very, very poor light. So this is the Rabbah's understanding of it. He knows that she'll live through him. Okay, fine. And that's what happens. But what happens to Pasuk Yud Zayin?
Her son died.
Her son dies. And she blames him. She doesn't sit there and say, wow, I've been worthy of living extra time ever since we've been taking care of the tzaddik. I should count my, lucky days and say, I really lucked out. No, she blames him. Why? Because she realizes we were just tools. We're just being used by him. Right? And now, instead of me getting attached and thinking that we'd get through this, my son died after just being used as the inn that takes care of the tzaddik. So, yeah, she saw a miracle. But it wasn't enough to keep her from being angry with him and being upset that she was basically being used by him. And if I'm going to be used by you, at least you would think that, I should live and my loved ones should live. Now, does she expect him, as we were talking about a second ago, Frank, does she expect him to do Tchias Meisim? No. Does he expect the Tchias Meisim? Probably not. It's never been done before. What is she basically doing? Look at Pasuk Yichet. By Tomer El Eliyahu, Ma Livalach Ish Elokim? What do I have to do with you? Now some understand it that it's like when Eliyahu comes, it ruins whatever zchuyot she had. Right? It's like, this brilliant guy switching the class and all of a sudden ruins the class curve. Before this guy switched in, no one got over 85. So it was great. Everyone got a 15-point curve. This guy gets hundreds in every test. Thank you very much. So that's Eliyahu. Eliyahu comes in, and she might have had some zchuyot. We see the type of woman that she gave Eliyahu the food. Right? She didn't just like curse him out and say, get your own food. But living with Eliyahu didn't help matters, because compared to Eliyahu, she was a nobody. And she says, thank you very much. What have you done? Basically, she's banishing him from the house. She says, I don't care. You want to think that because you're here, I'm alive? I don't need to live anymore. Is my son dead? What good is my life? I'm already an almana. And now my son's dead. I don't care if I die. Take a hike. Go somewhere else. Right? I don't want to see you ever again. Why is this happening? Fran, why is this happening? Why did this happen? Why did this boy die? Why did this woman curse out Eliyahu? What message is Eliyahu supposed to be getting? Your decree is too much from Yisrael. Look what's happening. People are dropping dead. Not the king, the Russia king, because he's got storehouses of food. Good, common people are dropping dead because you decided, without checking with me, according to the Barbanel, to withhold rain until you say so. Thank you very much. A year went by and the river dried up. Did Eliyahu get the message? No. Did Eliyahu understand that it's not just my river dried up? Rivers are drying up all over the place. He didn't get that message. He sends him now amongst the people, and he sees this woman now mourning the son. Right? He got an opportunity to get to meet him. It wasn't just like he walked to the town and saw dead people lying on the street. He got to know this woman and the son and watched them die. At this point, right, what should Eliyahu be thinking? What should he be thinking? I don't know. What should he be thinking?
My life is being too harsh.
Okay. Now, people are suffering all over the place. Even if they're deserving of an onesh, this is too much. Now, it's true. He takes his boy and pasuk yotet, and he brings him back to life. Why did he do it? Why did he do it?
He probably felt really bad.
I think it doesn't sound like he did it for her to appease her. It's like for him. Alright? This is about him.
Why did God do it?
Why did God do what?
Why did he
let the child come back to life?
Yeah.
Okay. So look at there's a strange word in the pasuk. Pasukhav. Beikra el Hashem bayonai. Hashem elokai gam ala manasha nimit goreri ma perot alamit et bina. Also this widow is going to suffer. What's the also? What's the haggam? What does that mean? What do you think he means when he says haggam?
She lost her husband. She's going to lose her son. Also.
But he's, look at the words. Haggam ala manashim rikarima. Also this woman that I'm living with. You're bringing bad, meaning what?
She doesn't deserve it. She's not doing it.
Okay, good. The Radak says that. She should at least be saved. Maybe other people deserve to die, but she's taking care of me. Alright? Isn't that enough? One interpretation. The Klei Yakar says, Agam, first you caused the Nachal to dry up. Now you're killing the child at my second stop. Enough! Again, it's all about him. Right? Now Eliyahu is thinking, I'm such a tzaddik. That first time where you tried to, you know, dry up my river, I suffered in silence. I didn't say anything. But now...
I don't understand some of the questions.
Okay.
I can't read them. So
okay. From 5 to 6, I'll be in the base and I'll be free. But now give me shit and I'll get another shit, okay?
5 to 6.
Okay? 5 through 6. Not 5 minutes to 6. From 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Eliyahu is looking at it, oh look, you know, I didn't complain the first time, but now I gotta complain. And but it's not about that. He's missing the point. These were all messages God's trying to send him. Right? The Nachal didn't dry up because I punished you. The Nachal dried up because there's no rain. The child didn't die because I punished you. The child died because there's no food. Get the message.
But I'm in his life that he's like so selfish and thinks of anything important, so.
I don't know. We'll see. Or the Alshev says the opposite. If I deserve to suffer, because maybe I was too harsh, because of my zealousness, you know, l'shem shemayim, but maybe it was overstated, does that mean that this child and this woman deserve to suffer? So now it's different. The Alshev's view is, I get it, I'm wrong.
Except he doesn't, has no, either way, has no right to talk to God like that, because it's his own doing that did that. Because he... Meaning he's the one who caused the drought in the first place.
Look, there's a very cool line that Elie Wiesel once wrote. Right, he was talking about how Avram goes and davens with Hashem and argues on a path of stone. And he talked about other people in Jewish history, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mevrititchev, you know, later on in Jewish history. But we have another, and here's another case. And his answer, and he has a very interesting line. He said, you can be happy with God, you can be angry with God. The only thing is you can't ignore God. So it's better to yell and say, I hate you, God, than to say...
Yeah, but it's different when it's your own fault.
I don't know if there's a God. I don't care if there's a God. So right now, he's getting angry with God's justice, which is exactly what Avram does in Parshas Vayera.
Yeah, but it's different.
He's like, I'm tzaddik.
Except it wasn't Avram's idea to kill Sodom. This is Eliyahu's time to start the drip.
You're okay, fine. And that's why, according to the Alshev, he says, I get it. You're trying to teach me a message. Why does she deserve to suffer? Right, that's the option to you. Maybe that's the most appealing to us. Look at Pasuk Chafal. He's Moder Eliyahu Shalosh Pa'amim. Veikra L'Hashem Ve'yomar Hashem Elokai Tashavna Nefesh Eilet Hazeh Al Kirbo. You know, please give him back his life. And he's answered here. As opposed to in Pasuk Chaf, where there's just a rhetorical question. Where he, you know, he said, does this child deserve to die? God doesn't respond. But over here, when he's not being sarcastic or not being angry, and he just davens, please bring back his life, chuppah v'yishma Hashem b'kol Eliyahu. Why? Because the first time he actually davens. He's not, it's like what you're saying, Ephraim. He's not yelling at God. Who are you to yell at God, right? He yelled at God, God kept his mouth shut. But when he finally davens, it means what? Okay.
This isn't the first time Hashem listened.
The message got across. God started, according to the Klei Yakar, the message with sending him to Nachal Kriyat, sending him ravens, having the water dry up, sending him to the city of Tarfat, having a poor widow take care of him, watching and getting close to them and watching the child die. Finally, after all of that, getting angry at God, he turns to God and davens. And now God finally says, okay, mission, my mission's accomplished. And now the next parak, we're going to see, he's going to send them off. All right, go back and talk to Acha, because that's what needs to happen. We'll pick it up with that tomorrow.